As Christians, most of us are constantly in struggle. Struggle between trusting in God and trusting in human efforts. Take for example, for students, you have an exam coming up. So you need all the time you can study. So do you spend all your time studying, and on Sunday you have to go to worship? Do you skip Sunday worship or skip fellowship so that you can study more and hopefully have a higher grade? So it's struggle. For some of our adults, we might be struggling with handling our finances. You know, we all have bills to pay, property tax, insurance, car insurance, utility bills. Yet there's also this thing called tithing, offering to God. Do you treat offering to God as discretionary? Or do you treat it as compulsory, like paying your tax bill, utility bills, and set aside each month a set fixed amount to offer to God? You see, once you offer to God, then it seems like the money is gone, and you have other bills to pay. Do you trust that as you honor God, God will honor you? Do you trust that God will provide you with financial sufficiency? Or do you count on what you have to do to preserve your cash? So it's a constant struggle. Do you trust in God's promise, trust in God, His grace, or do you trust in your own effort? I think this can be applied to many other issues in life. Job searching, illness, relationship, finding a spouse, all these other, in all these issues, do you trust in God or trust in your own effort? Seems like your own effort is within your control, but in God, you cannot control God. So what do? In today's scripture, Genesis 21, I called it a tale of two sons. Here, there is a son. First son is Isaac. What I call Isaac is a son of grace and promise, because Isaac is a result of a promise. And the other son is the son of Ishmael. This son Ishmael is a son of human effort. You all know the stories, but let me recall for you. We have been talking about God's call to Abram to leave the country, his homeland, his family. And God said, told him to go to a place that he promised to him. And God also promised to Abraham, at that time his name is Abram, that I will make you a great nation. But in order to be a great nation, meaning many descendants, it has to start with having a son. So Abraham obeyed and went to this promised land. Yet after many, many years, 10 years, as a fact, Abraham and Sarah, his wife Sarah, still have no son. So what do you do? You know, if someone promise you something and do not fulfill it for 10 years, what do you do? Well, most likely you will take matters in your own hand, just like Sarah did. So Sarah offered to take her own maidservant, a slave woman called Hagar, and said, give it to her husband, Abraham. He said, take this slave woman, Hagar, be your concubine. And then from her, hopefully she'll give birth to a son. And that is how God is going to fulfill the promise to make you a great nation. This is a start. We have to, as if we have to give God a hand. But you know the result. This is son of human effort. I give birth to the son called Ishmael. This will not turn out to be very good. Because first of all, this son is not in accordance to God's will. God said, I never said I will fulfill this promise through Hagar. And because of this, it created great family conflict in Abraham's household. And then historically, actually eventually, it developed into between Isaac's descendants and Ishmael's descendants, great conflicts historically, that is the struggle and conflict between the Jews and the Arabs. The Jews being the descendants of Isaac and the Arabs, descendants of Ishmael or Ishmael. So let's go back to Genesis 21. Now that the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised, Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time God had promised it. Notice, after so many chapters in Genesis, now starting from chapter 12, that God promised Abraham to make him into a great nation, and chapter 12 all the way to chapter 21 now. And we have been preaching about that for so long throughout this year. Genesis is doing the same thing, chapter after chapter, talking about God promising Abraham a son. And then here, notice when it comes to the final delivery, it was so brief, so short. But these two verses clearly tells the message. It is not just the whole process. All you will have to remember is Isaac, Abraham, and Sarah's son is a product of God's grace and God's promise. There's nothing else to it. It's just that God was gracious and God delivered. Abraham, at the age of 100 years old, gave birth to a son. This is clearly a miracle. So in this miracle, what are the responses of Abraham and Sarah? Abraham responded to this miracle in obedience. And this is demonstrated by him naming Isaac, his son, the name Isaac. Because that's the name that God instructed Abraham in chapter 17. He said, you are going to have a son, and you are going to give him the name Isaac. And Isaac means, how many of you remember what the name Isaac means? Sharon, you have your eyes. What is the name, meaning of Isaac? Not promise. Hey, Jenny. Laughter. Isaac means laughs, yeah. So he's laughed. So the angels instructed Abraham, when this son comes, you're going to name him Isaac, laughter. And then also, Abraham responded in obedience is because he circumcised Isaac at the eighth day. This is again another instruction that God gave to Abraham. He says, this is the covenant that I'm going to establish to you. You and all your descendants, male, will be circumcised on the eighth day. So Abraham responded, follow exactly the same instruction. And then Sarah responded in praise and thanksgiving. Sarah said in verse 6, is that God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. You know, in the beginning, Sarah was kind of in unbelief, you know. How can I have the son? And she kind of laughed in disbelief. But then now he's laughing with joy, you know. So then he's saying, God brought me laughter. So it is a spirit of thanksgiving and praise. And I think the model, Abraham and Sarah's response is our model, that how we should also respond to God's grace is respond in obedience, respond in thanksgiving. So does this apply to us? I think it is relevant. God has been graceful to Abraham and Sarah. Has God promised to be graceful to us? What is God's promise to us? What's God's promise to you? Do you think God have promised something great for you? In Romans, Paul said, he, meaning God, who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? You see, God's promise grace to us, and this is demonstrated by giving his son Jesus to die on a cross. So Apostle Paul is saying, if God already do not spare his own son, Jesus, give it to us, how would not God would not graciously give us all things? God is going to give us what we need. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? If you believe that, this applies to you. Now the Lord was gracious to Ming, as he had said. And the Lord did for Ming what he had promised. I want all of you to say it. Use that fill in your name to this blank and say it. Okay? Ready to do that? Think about what you are longing for and ask God that by his grace give it to you, because this is what God is promising. So put your name there and say it and believe it. Okay? 1, 2, 3. Now the Lord was gracious to this, that, that. And the Lord did for not very good. Not very convincing. Say it with conviction, you know. And this is exactly how God relationship, this is how God deal with us, you know. God deal with the reason why Abraham and Sarah have a son is because of God's grace. And you know that God's promise grace to us, then ask God that, you know, God, you are gracious to me. You have said that. And then you will do what you have promised to me in my life. So, think of that. God, think of your job. Think of your future spouse. Maybe think of your illness. God is going to be gracious to me. God is going to provide what is best for me. And then we go to the next, is the son of human effort. From verses 6, 8 to 21. At the weaning of Isaac, that is maybe about, in those times, about 2 to 3 years old, when your child is weaned, stop taking mother's milk, Abraham gave a celebration party, rejoicing, inviting friends, relatives, everybody to come. And then the son of human effort, Ishmael. The Bible here did not really say the name Ishmael here. Maybe it is intentional. He just referred that it says, the son whom Hagar, the Egyptian, had born to Abraham, was mocking. He was mocking. The Bible writer did not name Ishmael. Maybe it's because he wants to emphasize that the point that Ishmael is not the legitimate son. Maybe it's a matter of legitimacy. And Ishmael was mocking. Mocking is also another form of laughter. Here in this chapter, Genesis 21, it has two kinds of laughter. The previous kind, we know that is the Sarah's joyous laughter. But here, Ishmael's is a mocking laughter. Ishmael may have been mocking the young Isaac, but ultimately, he is mocking God, since Isaac is the child of the promise. You see, he sees this working of God, his father giving birth to a son at 100 years old. It's clearly a miracle, a work of God, yet he mocks it, knowing God's work, and he despises it. According to the book of Proverbs, fools are wicked and godless. But the worst type of fools is a mocker, because a mocker not only acts foolishly, but he ridicules the truth. So that's why mockers in the Bible are the worst type of fools, because he knows the truth, yet he despises it. That's why the psalmist, in the first psalm, first verse of the first psalm, tells us to stay away from the seat of the mockers. Don't be in company of mockers. So So young people, as you have friends, select friends, you know, stay away from mockers. Stay away those who know the truth and despise it. You know who they are. They know the truth, but they intentionally twist them. To these friends, stay away from them. And because of this incident, leads to Sarah's demand to expel Hagar and Ishmael so that they will not share the inheritance with Isaac. And this decision really distressed Abraham. But apparently, God endorsed it. You see, in Paul, the Apostle Paul in Galatians 4 talk about Hagar and Sarah. They represent two types. And in the end, Apostle Paul concludes that we cannot earn salvation by human efforts. So Paul is talking about that the two cannot stay together. You have to choose one. You know, it is only the inherit the son of the promise that we, through only the son of the promise, that we can gain salvation, not because of the son of human efforts. You see, today we might be thinking of Sarah's decision maybe a bit harsh. But you have to realize that in those times, what Sarah did was perfectly legal. It might not be nice, but it was perfectly legal. You can send away the slave woman, set them free, and expel them. But don't forget, in the end, God cared for the abused wife and the neglected child. God took care of Hagar and her son Ishmael. Throughout the Bible, the widows and the fatherless hold a very special place in God's heart. And because of that, we are asked to take care of the aliens, the refugees, and other strangers. So, how do we live our life? Do we live our lives trusting God in God's grace and promise? Or do we live our life trusting in our own effort and our own possessions? This is the constant struggle. And this is what we have always make a decision in life. Today, in the birth of Isaac, teaches us how to live in faith. Abraham and Sarah waited 25 years before Isaac was born, recognizing this son of the promise is part of God's salvation plan. They see that is the work of God in their hand. And as we are close to the Christmas season, I think we are in a similar situation. Maybe I can preach a sermon, it's a tale of two Christmas. There are two ways to celebrate Christmas. One way is today is Santa Claus parade. You can use this as a time of celebrating, shopping, parties, as many of us will do. Or this is a time, Christmas, is to celebrate and remember how God the Father sent his Son Jesus in humility as part of his plan to save us. Do you use this season to remember? What does Christmas mean to you? God the Father sending his Son. What does this act mean to you? You see, we always have to discern God's will. You see, if we don't discern God's will, you know, the birth of Isaac is no big deal. Okay, so a son is born to an old man, old woman. What's the big deal? But the big deal is this is part of God's plan. Out of this birth, the generation of God's salvation plan, the seed, the woman's seed, is passed on, until the birth of Jesus. And what is the big deal when Jesus was born? In the grand scheme of in the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire was huge at that time. Yet in a small part of Palestine, in a small village called Bethlehem, a baby was born. So what? But that's a big deal. So big that angels have to sing about it, because this is God's plan. Yet today, Christmas time, how do we celebrate it? You see, we can see that. So, okay, it's an old story. It's a story in the Bible. Okay? So we buy some gifts, we have a party, and we celebrate. Celebrating the holidays. Just like the society is telling us. But to Christians, to us who knows of this divine plan, it is a big deal for us. A tale of two sons. As Christians, we are always faced with these two choices. Do we trust in God, recognizing God's working in our hand, or do we trust in human efforts? Just looking at the tangible, the materialistic. So it is always these two intentions before us. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for everything you have done in our life. May you give us the wisdom to discern that you are gracious to us and you will do what, according to your goodness, your faithfulness, and your grace, you will fulfill what you have planned for us. So help us live our life trusting and obeying you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please rise. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love, Lord. Thank you for the nail Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love, Lord. Thank you for the nail-pierced hands. Wash me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know, your forgiveness and embrace. The song.